Uh-oh. I brought the wrong book. There'll be no sermon tonight. Anyway, Carolyn was talking about how people are acting out of selfishness. Everybody seems to be. So next Sunday morning, we're going to talk about the last days, and that includes that. So y'all try to be here, and don't let tonight discourage you, okay? The news lately has been filled with nothing but bad. Murder, robbery, rape, teachers having sex with their students, nothing but just plain old discouraging words, as the old song said. And we're told by some that we ought to tolerate these folks, that instead of putting them in jail or executing them, we ought to try to reform them. It's hard to change a leopard's spots or to stop the sow from returning to her wallowing in the mire. So I don't choose the reform. But I want to talk to you this evening about it, and I don't have my watch, so Dan, you be sure and give me a signal so Millie won't get up and leave on me. About a man who had no health care. His mother, when she was expecting him, did not have health care. And so she had to have this boy without any medical attention. He was raised in a poor home. He didn't have the benefits that most children have today. He never received any college training or degree. He became a homeless man. And like his mother, he had no health care. He began associating with the rough, uneducated men down on the waterfront. The authorities began to notice him when he began to agitate the community about the conditions in the community. He became extremely annoying with his constant criticisms of some very prominent people. So they arrested him, put him in jail, and as has happened here recently, they killed him. How many of you remember Paul Harvey? Well, now I want to tell you the rest of the story, okay? In Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35, if you want to follow. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. This is not moonshine. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him? You know, these fellows went with Jesus into the boat. And every time we follow Jesus, we're going to encounter just what they did. We all have problems in our lives. We have storms of some kind. Some here recently have lost wives and other loved ones. We have been through that. We lost our oldest son. And it's hard. It's difficult. But I want us to notice this evening three things from this text. The dangerous storm, the disbelieving sailors, and the divine sovereign. When I was a boy, probably about 18 or 19 years old, I was aboard a Navy destroyer, and we were in the North Atlantic and got into a storm. We were in a group of ships with a carrier. It was an old World War II carrier then that had survived. And the storm was so great that it buckled the flight deck of the carrier. Now, I was in a destroyer. We called it a tin can. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever been in the Navy and been on a tin can on a destroyer or not, but that's just what it is. For you're out there in something less than 300 feet long. The steel walls are 5/8 of an inch thick. That's all. And the carrier just suffered a buckled flight deck. So you can imagine how it felt in this little old tin can. It was a storm, a bad storm. The front of the ship would come completely out of the water, completely. And when it hit, we knew every welded seam in that old destroyer was going to split. But it didn't, and we survived. And we will survive. All the storms in our life, emotional, financial, whatever they are, but I think the emotional ones are the worst. I believe it's the most difficult when our loved ones die. And so tonight, I want to talk about Him who is in command of everything. This was a catastrophic storm like the one that just hit in Texas. They say now there are at least 5 known dead and some they haven't found. Billions of dollars probably in damage. Thousands and thousands without homes. Tonight, as we sit here, they're living in shelters. Without anything. They've lost everything. So it's not hard for us to understand what a catastrophic storm is it? The high winds tossed the boat and it says it was filling with water. Some have suggested that Satan was trying to kill Jesus. That's speculation. I can speculate as well as the next fellow, but I don't know. I do know that when the Lord invited the attention of Satan to Job, Job killed everybody in his family. I mean, the Satan killed everybody in Job's family except his wife. And I'll tell you what, when your wife turns on you, it's a storm. And she turned on him, and that's the only one the devil left alive was his wife. Killed all the others. And Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, there are other little ships, so this wasn't just a danger to that ship in which the Lord was in. There were other little ships there. And the storms in our lives are seldom just for us or with us. And we lose track and lose the consciousness that people around us are also having storms. Their lives are being disrupted. They're going through grief and turmoil and all the things that we don't even imagine in our own minds and hearts. We generally try to concentrate just on us, don't we? And that's how these disbelieving sailors were. Now, I want you to notice that all these men saw, at least I think they saw, was they was with this man that they had been with for some time. And they had seen him cast out devils. They had seen him heal the sick. They had seen him, even at this time, do great miracles. So in their mind, they knew that he could do something about this storm. But instead of concentrating on the Savior, they concentrated on the storm. That's what we do, isn't it? That's what I generally do and have. We tend to concentrate on the storm. And I think that's where we lose it just the way they did. We concentrate on ourselves and not on the Savior. So they awoke him. And then after they had awakened him, what did they say to him? Master, don't you care that we're going to perish? Have you ever said that to the Lord? Have you ever been there when the storms of life had gathered around you and were sinking your ship? And instead of seeing the Savior, all you could see was the storm. And you said, Lord, don't you care? That's our nature, isn't it? That's what our legacy from Adam is. You know, the scripture says that the woman, it didn't say Eve. I thought it was interesting that how the Lord recorded it. He said the woman was deceived. Adam was not deceived. He knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing when he disobeyed God. And he has left us that legacy in our genes and in our nature that it is our tendency, our disposition to disobey God, to take our eyes off the Lord and place our eyes on ourselves, to do what's in our own self-interest instead of what's in the interest of our fellow believers, what the Lord would have us do. We perish. Now, the writer of Hebrews, and our pastor has been preaching in Hebrews, and thank the Lord for him and for his ministry. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. That's our Lord. But what I want to concentrate on tonight, and I want you with me to concentrate on, instead of the storm or the sailors, let's talk about the divine sovereignty. Now, I don't know about you, but if I close my eyes and I put myself there in that boat and I think I'm drowning, I know I'm going to die, and this man, what manner of man is this? This man that they had awakened, he arose, the scripture says. And what did he do first? The first thing the Lord did was he calmed the storm first. But can you imagine, just put yourself in that boat, that you went there and you shook him away? I son. Master, don't you care? And so he gets up and he stands up and he's in this raging storm. The water is filling the boat. The winds are so high. I've been there. And he says, he rebuked the wind and the waves. He said, peace, be still. How would you feel if you had been in that boat, if you had been there in that storm, knowing you were going to die, that you were going to drown right there, and you went and woke this fellow up, this man who was lying asleep and sat on a pillow, and this man stood and said to the waves and the wind, stop. And they stopped. The waves became a great calm. The winds ceased. Now, I think I would be just like them. And what did it say of them? They feared exceedingly. This was not a normal man. Was he? And they ask each other, what manner of man is this, that even the waves and the wind obey him? What kind of man is this? Well, I want to tell you who he was. He was the same one that in the book of Genesis said, let there be light. He's the same one that on the 6 days of creation, he made all those things, and he looked at it and said, it is good. That's who was in that boat. And I believe that these men finally realized who this man was that they'd been following. The sovereign God of creation. In John chapter 1, it says that he created all things, and that without him nothing was made that was made. But I want us to look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, if you want to turn there. Speaking of Christ, it says, for in him in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That man of which they said, what manner of man is this, was God in a body, the creator, the sovereign, who rules all. And there are those who think he isn't sovereign. They say, oh, he's sovereign, but if you don't put, as Brother Neal said, an exclamation mark at the end of sovereign, you're wrong. If you say but or and or anything else, wrong. That's not what the book teaches. The book teaches that he is the creator, and he has complete and absolute and full authority over all his creation. This is who was in that boat asleep on that pillow. He was asleep on the pillow, but when he arose as God Almighty, one who could command the wind and the waves. This Jesus that we say we love, and that we say he is our Savior. And I hope that is the case. Also in Colossians chapter 1, I want to read a few more verses. Paul says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Yes. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I love that song I was telling Carolyn when we were talking the other day. And thank you, Carolyn, for that song. I love It Is Well With My Soul. For in there it says, my sin, not in part, but whole, all of it. He nailed it to his cross. He who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him, and we forget this last little phrase, and for him. We're here for God. He created us for himself. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist or hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. He's the creator God Almighty, the sovereign of all creation. The wind and the waves obey him. There was a song written that George Beverly Shea used to sing. How many of you ever heard of George Beverly Shea? He used to sing Roll Jordan Roll. I love that one too. But he used to sing, when the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. He lives in all who receive him. The Creator God, the Sovereign of all, lives within us. He addresses our storms before he talks to us, just like he did these men. Because after he had addressed the storm, he said, "Where is your faith?" Does the Lord have to ask you where your faith is? This church, from what I have been told, has been through some storms. And I think you folks were in the boat. But those storms are past. It's time to look ahead. It's time to forget those things that are past. It's time to lay them out of your mind. It's time to move forward, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Will you do that tonight? Will you look to Jesus? Will you believe him? Or will you still be fearful? And will you still be concerned with yourself? That's your decision. Everybody has to make his own. It's wonderful how that Adam was created with a free will, but he gave it up to Satan. He gave it up to Satan. He became a slave of Satan, as we were before the Lord saved. If the Son shall make you free, you will be free indeed. So you sit here tonight, all of us, as free moral beings, because the Lord in mercy and grace gave you back your freedom. He took you away from Satan and out of the power of darkness. He put you into the kingdom of his dear Son. And so it's your decision. Are you going to do things the same way you've always done the last 40 years? Are you going to keep doing the same things? What do you need to do different? What you need to do different is to forget about what the world thinks, to forget about what the association thinks, or any other church thinks. Worry and be concerned with and want what Jesus says. Worship him. Honor him. Sing songs that you do that lift him up, that glorify him. I love that song. We did the same this morning.
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above.
Ooh.
Next Sunday morning, we'll talk about the last days. And if we finish that Sunday morning, we'll talk about the great sovereign again Sunday night. But we might not finish the first. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. Let's sing one verse as a closing hymn.
stand, please.